This portion of the Ronnie Deutsch Radio Show is brought to you by relationship expert Dr. Maureen Hosier.
And now, stay tuned for the most exciting, new, sexy radio show on the planet, the Ronnie Deutsch Radio Show.
Hello, good morning, and welcome to the Ronnie Deutsch Radio Show. I'm your host, Ronnie Deutsch, and I got to tell you something. I think our first segment is going to shock you a bit, especially if you know anyone who has ever died from this awful disease. And that's because we're talking about the single worst word in the entire English dictionary, and that's cancer. Now, before we dive into a topic that has affected 40% of you, your family, your friends, your dogs, and your loved ones, I want you to know something about me. You see, ever since I was a little kid, I always wished that I was able to tap into some superhero power and cure cancer. I mean, can you imagine how cool it would be if you could cure cancer and be like, "Hi, I'm Ronnie Deutsch, and I cured cancer." And that means kids like Sawyer don't have to die every day from pediatric cancer. But the reality is, at a very early age, I realized that there was zero chance, okay? Not even 1% chance that I was ever going to attend medical school to become a doctor to learn how I could actually cure disease, unlike my awesome nephew, Brent. After all, I never liked biology. I never liked science. I don't even like blood, for that matter. For me, it was more like being a superhero thing, you know, like flying or climbing buildings or being able to beat up really mean bullies like many of our corrupt politicians. So my first question for you this morning is pretty obvious. Why in the world haven't we cured cancer? I'm actually stunned at the answer to this question, especially in light of the fact that millions of taxpayers like yourself have made sizable monetary donations for decades to charities and foundations that all have one common goal, and that's to cure the worst disease on the planet, and that's you, ugly cancer. I mean, let's face it, all you gotta do is look at all of the organizations that raise money to cure this awful disease, right? Whether it's breast cancer, or lung cancer, or brain cancer, or pediatric cancer. Everyone wants to raise money to cure this disease. I mean, can you imagine how much money we've probably raised and donated over the past two decades towards this one common goal? I bet as a country, we have raised billions of dollars to help find a cure. And yet, here we are in April 2018, and no one has found a way to cure the most deadly disease that will devastate and ruin 40% of the total population. Yeah, I know that's hard to believe, but over a billion people that you know and love are going to get cancer in some form or another, and no one has found a cure, which makes me wonder why. Now, I realize our great country has made incredible strides over the past decade with medicine and, of course, medical treatments, so you and your family and even your dogs have more options, breakthroughs, and miracle drugs that can help fight disease if you're lucky enough to have medical insurance. But wait a minute here. Even if you are lucky enough to have medical insurance and pay your outrageous monthly medical bills and your ridiculous co-payments and outrageous prescription drug costs, the truth of the matter is that you don't have enough money to cure stage 4 cancer, which is unbelievable to me, especially since we've seen the greatest advances in cancer medication in the last 5 years, with drugs actually targeting the immune system. And these things are actually moving into the clinical stages and are showing remarkable response rates with quite a few different types of cancers. After all, look at all of the technological advancements we've made in robots, right? Artificial intelligence, and even my favorite, plastic surgery. And yet no one in the world has found a cure for this horrific disease. So what's the real problem that no one wants to talk about? You see, in my opinion, the real problem is bigger than anything you can imagine. Because if anyone in the world ever really does find the Willy Wonka golden ticket that can cure ugly cancer, our country is going to collapse and go bankrupt. Yeah, what you need to know this morning is that curing cancer is going to be the death of our great nation as we know it, which is the only reason why no one in your lifetime is ever going to find a cure. And the reason is simple. You see, if we cure cancer, over 30 million people in America alone are going to lose their jobs in the healthcare industry, because cancer is very good for business and bottom lines. Do you realize 2 million people have got cancer right now and are going to die, and no one seems to care? In fact, curing cancer kills jobs. So collectively, millions of people, including amazing doctors and nurses and technicians, staff, and of course pharmaceuticals, will be without sick people to treat and overcharge. But at least everyone will finally be healthy and able to live cancer-free. Yeah, do you realize this? Tens of millions of sick people, you're going to finally be able to be healthy, but you're going to be poor, and you're going to be broke, but you're going to be alive and able to grow old with the people you love. So my question for you is so important. Would you choose poverty over good health? Or do you want lots of money and an early and very sick death? Because what I'm saying this morning is really important. You see, I believe that greed and making money for shareholders of big pharmaceuticals is more important than finding a cure for your kid's pediatric cancer or your wife's lung cancer or your dad's bladder cancer. Because remember, the healthcare industry only makes money if you and your loved ones, including your dogs, are sick and dying. Come on, let's be real here. Healthy patients aren't profitable. Sickness is profitable. So the sicker you are, the more money Wall Street makes, which is unfortunate and pathetic. I mean, why do you really think there's a McDonald's on every corner, or a Burger King, or some other fast food unhealthy restaurant? Well, first of all, it's cheap and it's unhealthy, so this vicious cycle will continue. I mean, think about it. If being sick is profitable, can you imagine how much money the healthcare industry makes if you have cancer? Think about how much money cancer brings in for business. Bottom line is, it's great for business. That's why I'm going on the record this morning to say that over the next 10 years, I do not believe that anyone is ever going to find a cure for cancer, because the more profitable option is to treat you and extend your life by pumping you with expensive experimental drugs and medical treatments, so you're dependent on medicine and hospitals, even though the cancer is going to kill you anyways. You see, this is a very sick and disturbing business trend. Now listen, I realize that many of you will respectfully disagree with me and think, Ronnie, don't be ridiculous. Of course we're going to find a cure for cancer, so kids like Sawyer don't have to die of pediatric cancer every single day. After all, in the next decade, my producer Mike and I, we're going to be able to fly in cars, and we're going to be able to buy robots who take care of all of our needs, right? So of course we're going to be able to cure disease. Nope, I'm not buying it, because most companies are not looking for cures, which is only confirmed by the fact that most companies keep coming out with better and stronger drugs to extend your life, not cure your diseases. After all, the longer you live, the more medical attention you need, and the more money hospitals make. However, what concerns me the most about this is that if we extend your life approach with new experimental drugs and expensive medical treatment, It's not working to cure anything. So we're going to have a nation of sick people dependent on hospitals, medication, and pharmaceuticals. Bottom line is this. I would absolutely cure cancer even if I knew that our country would collapse, because I believe that you have the right to be healthy and you have the right to live a long and loving and prosperous life. Now, the real irony here is kind of funny, because in 10 years when you and I are replaced with robots, who's going to need doctors or hospitals or medicine anyway? All right, everyone. I've got a great show for you today because I'm fired up and we're talking about you, your health, your life, and a very dirty little secret that our governor doesn't want you to know. All that is coming up next on the Ronnie Deutsch Radio Show.
You're listening to the Ronnie Deutsch Radio Show. We'll be back with more right after this.
The following segment is brought to you by Dr. Martin Bastuba, the official board-certified urologist and male fertility doctor of the Ronnie Deutsch Radio Show.
And now, back to the Ronnie Deutsch Radio Show.
Hello, good morning, and welcome back to the Ronnie Deutsch Radio Show. I'm your host, Ronnie Deutsch, and I got to tell you something. I love my interviews with board-certified urologist Dr. Martin Bastuba, because Dr. Bastuba gives you and I hope that anything is possible. I know the topics we discuss are very personal and highly sensitive, which is why my first question for you has to do with psychological impotence. What is it?
Well, I think the first thing to do is to talk what is impotence. Actually, maybe a better term is sexual dysfunction. I think it's a little bit easier for people to accept. And what that is defined as is an erection that is able to be obtained and maintained for both the patient and their sexual partner an appropriate period of time. And, of course, that can vary for different couples depending on what the particular needs are. And then once we have sexual dysfunction, there are different types of it. About 85% of it is organic or mainly blood flow, but about 15% is primarily what we might refer to as psychological sexual dysfunction. And that means that's the primary cause of it, be it stress or depression or relationship issues. And so if you have erection issues, you're going to have a psychological response. Everybody does. That's just being a human being. But the distinction there is the primary cause.
You know, Dr. Bastuba, I love how you make things sound a lot better. I prefer, as you say, psychological sexual dysfunction. And like you said, a lot of it could be physical, right? Like blood flow. So can you please talk about how common this really is and what you're seeing with your practice?
Sure. Well, sexual dysfunction follows age. And so about it's much more common than people might typically know. About 40% of men in their 40s have sexual dysfunction, 50% in their 50s, 60% in their 60s, and 70% in their 70s. You get the idea. It increases with age, and it's very common in the general population. But the good news is that we have a treatment for just about anyone who is interested in having treatment. And in terms of the psychological aspect of things, I always recommend that some evaluation and counseling from the psychological standpoint is useful. And typically I recommend that be done on a couple's basis. If you're having these type of issues with sexual dysfunction, please give us a call. Our number is 619-286-3520, and our website is www.malefertility.md. That's not .com, .md, and we'd be delighted to help people. It's a really important issue, and it's one reason why I get so much satisfaction out of helping couples with it. A, you're not treating one person, you're treating two people. And B, it's shown itself to be one of the most important quality of life issues between sexual function and fertility issues. These are two of the biggest issues that human beings deal with.
And Dr. Bastuba, if these are two of the most important issues that you and I will have to deal with, Can you please explain why couples don't talk about it, right? Why the woman may feel like her husband is having an affair, or the woman may feel like the husband doesn't want her, when in fact, it's not that at all. Why is there a breakdown regarding communication?
There's good and bad there. You know, us men, we're pretty simple creatures. A guy doesn't take much to make him happy, typically. Women are much more complex creatures. They have higher level functioning, and so that's a bigger challenge for female sexual dysfunction. But for men, you know, if they have an erection again, a lot of this baggage that I'm talking about goes away. Once they're functioning, now they're more interested again, and things usually resolve largely on their own. But the help comes from having, a lot of guys, they think, well, maybe it is in my head. They don't know that 85% of the time it's a blood flow issue. And so the guy may be blaming himself. Typically they do, and they're, not the man they used to be, when it's purely a physical thing, the root of it. And the treatment itself, whether it's a pill such as Viagra or Cialis or any of the oral type of agents, certainly is a huge step forward. From the psychological standpoint, a lot of times if somebody has primary psychological issues, such as performance anxiety, maybe they don't function one time, they're with a new sex partner, and oh my God, they get so worried about it. Well, anxiety itself causes us to release substances that fight erections. And so it's a self-fulfilling prophecy that when you have anxiety, you're going to have more difficulty, which of course causes more anxiety, and it just sort of snowballs. When we give someone an oral agent, which works the great majority of the time, such as a Viagra or a Cialis, they function and they can just start calming down. And then a lot of times that's just a short-term crutch that is necessary. Sometimes we have to do things a little bit stronger, and we have other options for that to help the guy just get functioning again. And as I say, a lot of times for a guy, that's enough. They calm down. So we are the Male Fertility and Sexual Medicine Specialists. Our number is 619-286-3520. And our website is www.malefertility.md.
Now, for those of you just joining us, I have the most amazing board-certified sexual dysfunction doctor. This is Dr. Martin Bastuba, and he wants to help you and your family so you can live a healthier and happier life. Dr. Bastuba, I want to ask a very sensitive question about pornography, because I've actually been told, Dr. Bastuba, that if a man has a pornography addiction or dependency, it can actually affect a sexual dysfunction. Is that true?
Oh my gosh, absolutely. It's pretty darn common, especially in our younger people, people in their 20s and their 30s. There's a lot of use of pornography these days. And what happens is people get a completely unrealistic idea of what, quote, normal behavior is. And couples just get very skewed ideas of what is normal. So they get into these patterns, and then when they can't do things that the body wasn't meant to do, they really think that they're substandard when they're actually performing in a fairly normal fashion. And so a lot of that, again, is just letting people know what reality is and that they've got unrealistic expectations. Once we set expectations correctly, typically these things work themselves out. Although I will say for some people, that addiction to the pornographic type of material is difficult for them to break away from. You know, to me, there's a huge difference, and I've learned this myself as I've grown older, there's a huge difference between sexual performance and real intimacy. And in our relationships now, in our society now, there is a lot of lack of intimacy and so much a preponderance of focus on sexual function and size and some things that in the end are not that important.
And for those of you listening, I want to encourage you to contact Dr. Bastuba. Would you mind, Dr. Bastuba, one more time giving your phone number, your website information, because what you do for your patients is unbelievable and very hopeful.
Yep. So we are the Male Fertility and Sexual Medicine Specialists. Our number is 619-286-3520. And our website, www.malefertility.md.
All right, Dr. Bastuba, thank you so much for another amazing interview. My producer, Mike, and I, we just love you. All right, everybody, we have an amazing show for you today because we're bringing on Dr. David Sadat. We're going to talk about you, your face, how you look, and if you love your skin. All that is coming up next on the Ronnie Deutsch Radio Show.
We'll be back with more of the Ronnie Deutsch Radio Show right after this.
This portion of the Ronnie Deutsch Radio Show is brought to you by board-certified plastic surgeon, Dr. David Sadat.
And now back to the Ronnie Deutsch Radio Show. Here's Ronnie.
Hello, and welcome back to the Ronnie Deutsch Radio Show. I'm your host, Ronnie Deutsch, and as promised, I have board-certified plastic surgeon, Dr. David Sadat. Dr. Sadat, I miss you, and I'm so happy to have you on the line.
Me too, Ronnie. Good to talk to you, too.
Dr. Sadat, what I love about you is that your clients, your patients, they love the way they look after they see you. So can you take some time today to talk about your plastic surgery services, especially since it's springtime and I know people are looking in the mirror. So enlighten us. Tell us what you do.
Okay, so obviously, there are a lot of things in plastic surgery that we do, but let's focus on face and neck. I think that would be a good start. We, as you said, we look at ourselves in the mirror and try to see what we can do to look better. So, you know, we do anywhere from minimal stuff such as lasers and fillers and Botox and injections to things that are a little bit more invasive, like more peels and mini lifts, to things that are a little bit more advanced and complicated, like a facelift and a neck lift or a brow lift or upper eyelid surgery or lower eyelid surgery. So these are all doable, easily done for the right person in the right situation, and it just depends on what we're trying to achieve in what amount of time.
And so, Dr. Sadat, when your patients come to you, right, and you provide a consultation, obviously you're looking at their face and you're looking at, is there a loss of volume, right? What does their skin tone look like? What about sun-damaged skin? So how do you decide, Dr. Sadat, what would best serve your client's needs?
Great, and you're right. We look at the face exactly. There are usually four categories that we like to look at. One is the skin. As you mentioned, the color, the texture, the wrinkle, the sun damage. Then it's the what's under the skin, volume, which is typically fat pockets that we normally have in the face, and part of the aging process, or being 2018 in Los Angeles or San Francisco, losing a lot of weight is losing volume in the face, which makes you more wrinkly and more gaunted. So we look at the fat volume loss. The third thing we look at is the droopiness of the face, whether the muscles or whatever is underlying tissue has drooped. So do we have a droopy eyebrow, droopy jowls, droopy neck? And the last thing, which happens as we get older, is loss of bony support. It's extremely important to look at the skull, the face, the facial skeleton, and to see if it's strong enough to hold everything up in a very youthful position. So the examination is extremely critical to come up with a treatment plan. Of course, it's really difficult to go through all of that stuff, but if anybody's listening to me and they want to come for a good full exam to really understand these things, call my office. We'll take care of you, 310-247-9090, or go to my website, drdavidsadat.com, and we can easily make an appointment and have you evaluated privately.
You know, Dr. Sadat, I'm so glad that you brought up all of the different things that your face can experience, right? You've got that loss of volume. Is your face showing signs of deflation, right? Is your face shrinking?
Yeah.
And then you talked about, you know, the skin tone. Are we seeing signs of loose or what we want to call sagging skin, droopiness? And then, of course, we've got those sun damage issues because, of course, we live in California. Now, when it comes to surgery, though, Dr. Sadat, a facelift, how do you make that decision? Because that's a lot different than Botox or fillers.
Of course, of course. And contrary to what people think, one does not replace the other. So, for example, if someone has a loss of volume and they need volume, and volume requires either filling with something, fat, Restylane, Juvederm, whatever the material we like, that's one thing. But the droopiness does not get better with volume. Maybe gets a little bit better. But ultimately, what makes the droopiness better is lifting it. So if somebody has droopy, saggy skin, muscle, neck, then the only solution for it is to really lift it. So how we determine that is that, you know, we look at the person, again, the four categories, and we'll see which category is the one that really stands out. And if it turns out that the droopiness is the majority of the problem, then the last thing you want to do is say, okay, let's take care of the sun-damaged skin. You're not really handling the problem. So that's when we say, you know what, you really need a facelift and a neck lift, or just a facelift, or a mini lift, or a neck lift. And, of course, every single one of them are customized. So biggest issue that comes up is what is perceived in the community as facelift, neck lift, which is not reality. People see the ones that are pulled, the wind tunnel look, the abnormal-looking faces, and those are the ones that are rare and far in between. They should have never been done that way, and they were done incorrectly. So when it's done correctly, there is no way you can tell that anything was done. The result is so perfect that when you look at somebody's face who's had this kind of a procedure, you should not be able to tell that they've had this kind of procedure. Again, a lot to talk about, but if you're interested in really digging deep into this and see if you're a good candidate, and let me show you what I can do for you without any signs of surgery, give me a call. My number is 310-247-9090, or go to my website, www.drdavidsadat.com.
Dr. Sadat, I'm so glad that you brought up that. Let's face it, some surgeries don't look that good. Yours do. So can you talk about the recovery process? Unfortunately, you know, women listening think, oh, no, it's going to take months to recover. And that's just not the case.
That is not the case. It actually, the recovery from majority of these are about a week to 2 weeks. And you were talking about the myth of it's not going to look good and it's going to take a long time. Honestly, it just needs to be done correctly. And unfortunately, like anything else in life, the right person doing the right procedure, selecting the right patient for this, that all matters. And that only comes with experience and someone that has expertise on doing that. And if it's done correctly in the right person, it looks great, recovers very nicely and quickly. And, you know, my patients know, and you can come and see some of my before and after pictures in my office. These are long-lasting years and years of rejuvenation and probably the best thing that they've ever done. Again, come see me in the office. I would love to see you if you're listening. 310-247-9090, or go to my website, www.drdavidsadat.com.
And Dr. Sadat, my last question for you has to do with men. Do you also treat men, and have you performed procedures on them? Because let's face it, men need to look good too.
Absolutely. Of course men need to look good. We, you know, it's a tough world. We all need to look good. There's no way you can get by not looking good. So, yes, a lot on men, more and more on men recently, because we now realize that as men, that these procedures can be done. There's so much improvement in the outcome of the procedures that we have learned how to change it around. So when you do, when you're operating on a man, it, we're still keeping their facial features, the manly features, and we're not feminizing them, for example, which is important. You know, for example, you know, let's say talk about fillers. You know, a lot of times women come and make their lips bigger and the cheeks bigger and stuff like that. To I mean, that makes them look cute and very feminine. When we do this for men, we just have to be careful not to do too much in their cheeks or their lips, and maintain the features. So it's different when you operate on men and do procedures on men. You just have to know what needs to be done for that particular person.
Well, I can tell you, Dr. Sadat, I am so grateful for what I've had done on my face at 54 years old. I feel like I'm looking as good as I did when I was in my 30s. All right, everyone, I've got an amazing closing segment for you, because I am going to expose a very dirty little secret about our great state of California. All that is coming up next on the Ronnie Deutsch Radio Show.
Ronnie Deutsch. We'll be back with more right after this.
This portion of the Ronnie Deutsch Radio Show is brought to you by board-certified plastic surgeon Dr. David Sadat.
Hey, surf is definitely up on the Ronnie Deutsch Radio Show.
Hello and welcome back to the Ronnie Deutsch Radio Show. I'm your host, Ronnie Deutsch, and you better believe the surf is up, because I'm feeling a little bit feisty this morning, as is my badass producer, Mike. All right, now this segment is really interesting, and that is because we're going to talk about a dirty little secret that our governor doesn't want you to know. And once you know what this dirty little secret is, it's going to shock you. Now, before I talk to you about this dirty little secret, I just want to ask you a very simple question. What do you love about California? Because as you know, I love California, right? I love the beaches. I love the weather. I love the food. I love the sports. And I love the overall beauty. But there are things about California that I don't like. Obviously, that includes the traffic, the potholes, the taxes, the regulations, the politicians, the crime, the cost of housing, the cost of gas, and the cost of utilities. Because let's face it, our failed bureaucracies have gotten California in quite a pickle. And that's because you're never going to believe which state in our great country has the highest poverty rate in the country. Right? Would you guess that it's Mississippi? How about New Mexico? What about Tennessee or West Virginia? How about Missouri? Because the dirty little secret is the answer to this question, and that's because our great state, California, is the highest poverty rate in the country. Is that unbelievable to you? Because based on the facts, one out of five residents is poor. Now, for those of you who don't like math, let me keep this really simple. Under Jerry Brown's failed leadership over the past eight miserable years, California has become the highest poverty-ridden state in America, where 20% of the population lives at or under the poverty line. I mean, all you got to do is look at the cost of housing or food, utilities, and basic necessities to see the reasons behind this dirty little secret, where nearly one in five people makes less than $24,000 a year. Think about how little $24,000 a year goes. For example, you got to pay your rent, which in California for a family of three or four is going to cost you anywhere between $1,000 to $1,500 a month. And what about food or utilities or clothes and a car? Yeah, good luck paying those bills when you only have about $500 or less left after you paid money to your slumlord. Yeah, your landlord is a slumlord because they're jacking up rents and it's insane and ridiculous. Now, what if you live in Bakersfield, right? Or Fresno? Or even Roseville? Because these three California cities have made it to the list of top 10 poverty-stricken cities in our great country. Yes, those three cities made the top 10 list out of our entire country, which is absolutely pathetic. And to make matters worse, the city of Roseville is only 10 miles away from my studio and 10 miles away from our governor's mansion, where homeless people and their families live within 20 feet in the bushes or on the streets. You know what I call that, Jerry Brown? I call that a failure. You are a failure, and it's ridiculous. I mean, how in the world can this happen, given our robust job growth and the prosperity generated by several unbelievable and huge industries? In fact, when you look at our state's per capita GDP, it has increased twice as much as the U.S. average over the past 5 years. And yet, we have more homeless people than any other state, and it's only getting worse. Now, obviously, one of the reasons why California has the highest poverty rate in the country is because California Democrats have long been free to indulge in blue state ideology while paying no political price or consequence, which, thank God, you can finally change by voting differently in this November's election. Yep, in my opinion, the very generous spending by Democrats in our great state has not only failed to decrease poverty, it actually seems to have made it worse. And that's because the state and local bureaucracies that implement California's anti-poverty programs have ignored pro-work reforms. In fact, recipients of state aid in our great state, they receive disproportionately large shares of cash without any strings attached, right? It almost sounds like our politicians. So let's be real. It's a vicious cycle with very little incentive to do anything differently. No wonder we have a serious dependency trap for 55% of all immigrant families in California, which is unbelievable. And what about the self-serving side of our overpaid government that you paid for? Meaning we have a welfare bureaucracy in California that needs hundreds of thousands of state employees to run it and keep it going. Yes, one of the biggest reasons why our state is failing and we're the highest poverty state in the country is because California has an enormous failing bureaucracy, and those in social services would lose their jobs if we ever fixed our poverty crisis. Do you realize? It's almost like the healthcare industry that I spoke about earlier, where we reward mediocrity and failing while watching kids die of pediatric cancer. And what about California's housing nightmare? Do you realize half of our state's population is now spending more than 50% of their net income on housing, which, let's be real here, is totally and completely unsustainable. And in my opinion, I'm going to go on the record and say right now, California is going to have 200 homeless people living in our streets of our great state within the next 3 years. And then what are we going to do? Well, maybe we could create a new city and we could call it Homeless City, and we could put it out by that expensive rail system our awful governor wants to build. So when you're on that train, you're going to be able to see all the homeless people that Jerry Brown displaced. And let's not forget about counties and local governments imposing restrictive land use regulations that drive up the price of land and homes, which has forced you, middle-income households, to accept lower standards of living. But hey, at least you've got somewhere to live, because the less fortunate are living on the streets or in their cars or in the bushes down the street from our governor's mansion. And what about environmental regulations? Because they also hurt the poor in California by making energy more expensive. Do you realize that you pay 50% more for your utilities just for the privilege of waking up in our great state. I mean, why in the world do we have to waste billions of dollars on a costly and needless high-speed train or rail system when we need money right now to help the poor and the homeless? It's no wonder Californians are having serious talks and discussions of secession from the United States, and will probably have enough signatures to get this on the ballot by 2020. Listen, I think it's great that we have record low unemployment and are headed to becoming number 5 in global economic rankings. But at what cost? Because the last time I checked, the nation's least educated communities includes 5 from California, and that's Salinas, Fresno, Modesto, Bakersfield, and Visalia, Porterville, which means it's only gonna get worse. Which is why I believe that you have to have the courage to talk about these dirty little secrets, and of course, the courage to vote differently this upcoming election. All right, everyone, I want to thank you so much for your time and your support, and encourage you to like us at Ronnie Deutsch Radio or visit our beautiful website, ronniedeutschradio.com, where you can hear our previous radio shows and get in touch with our amazing experts. Hope you have a great weekend, everybody. Look forward to seeing you next week on the Ronnie Deutsch Radio Show. If you want to be a featured expert on a future segment of the Ronnie Deutsch Radio Show, in order to share your unique expertise, please call my producer, Mike, at 888-919-4009 to see if you're a good fit for the show.